Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
I love that baby's laugh. All right, g'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And today's podcast is actually part two of last week. I was having so much fun with Bo and Kevin and Johnny Boy, and we just had to continue the conversation. So I've got them back again, and I would like to say welcome. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks hello. For having us back.
Hello awesome. Again. Hello, hello.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Oh, beautiful.
You know what, Teresa? Every time you say Johnny Boy, I hear the song Danny Boy.
Yeah. I totally get it. And so if you missed last week's show, I have Kevin and Johnny who are here from the BBS show A Q-Man Perspective, which is really about exploring divine masculine energy, and they love to laugh. Laughter is the topic of our show. Continuing on from last week, and they're just two funny guys. And I have Bo from Idaho, who's been on my show before, and of course she is from the BBS podcast Down and Dirty, and which is about organic gardening and sustainable living and just all things good, basically just all things good. So okay, I'm going to hand it over to you boys. Let's start the show off today with a joke, because I know you'd both love your dodgy dad jokes. Who wants to go first? I know you've got one.
I can go with one. It's real short. It takes 5-10 seconds. All right.
Righto. Yep.
All right. A truck loaded with Vicks Vapor Rub overturned on the highway. Surprisingly, there was no congestion for 8 hours.
Oh, Kevin, he comes up with these.
And it's clean. I do like that it was clean.
It's clean, yeah.
It was clean. Oh, I'm going to have to keep up with the trucks then. All right. There's a transport truck going down the highway, and he doesn't know it, but there's a highway patrol officer following him. And every time he sees a sign for the scales, he pulls his truck over and gets out with a bat, and he bangs the truck all around, up one side, down the other. Back in his truck, goes into the scale, leaves again, and he keeps doing this. So the third time he'd done it, the officer couldn't stand it anymore. He pulled him over and he said, "Why do you keep doing that?" He said, "What?" He said, before there's a scale, you get out of your truck and you take your bat and you go around and beat this truck all around the sides. Then you go into the scale and leave. He said, "Oh," he says, "I got a truckload of canaries. I'm 1,000 pounds overweight and I got to keep the little fellas flying so I can get through the scale."
Oh my gosh. Oh, those poor canaries. Bye.
I have a very short, clean one as well.
Oh, nice.
What do you call a blind buck?
A blind buck with a B.
With a B.
Oh, no idea.
No idea.
No idea. You were close, Teresa. You were close.
Oh, that's a good one, Bo. That's nice and clean.
You get the Cupid doll.
In the history of joke telling, I usually get to the punchline and forget. And it's like, oh, yeah. What was it again? I'm just one of those. I don't get the timing. You guys have natural timing when it comes to jokes. It's just amazing. All right. So for the audience out there, last show we were talking about the benefits of laughing and how it helps you set the mood and build connections and bonds and how contagious it happens to be. And we were reflecting on stop it, Bo. Oh, my goodness. And we were reflecting
Yes.
on how we don't laugh enough when we're supposed to be learning and in schools and things like this. So let's go back to this. Let's try and pretend to be serious. In work environments today, or in learning environments such as schools and universities, or whatever play environments there are, what's your opinion on how laughter can create that openness and creativity and trust? Have we got any examples of how this can happen and what your opinion might be on that? I'm going to go first while you're thinking of that answer. A few years ago, I had a particular class. They were actually in primary school. They were year six students. And they were really serious. They did not know how to laugh. There were no class clowns. You usually always had one or two that had that high fun need. And there were just none. They just wanted to sit and do things so seriously. So I created happy hour. And it wasn't happy hour, and there wasn't actually alcohol, but at any given time, I would ring this tiny little, it was like a chime. And every time I rang the chime, every single person had to get out of their desk, walk around the classroom, and we had a variety of different things that they were able to do. So some students were the class DJ and they put music on. Others had bubble blow. We had a bubble blowing station and they'd be blowing bubbles around the classroom and chasing the bubbles. And I also, we created a game called the Whoop Whoop game, which had a whoopee cushion. So you had to roll a dice, and if you rolled a six, then someone had to sit on the whoopee cushion, and you had to sit on it really slowly, so you got that really juicy, regurgitating sound, and you just cannot keep a straight face with that. And then once the happy hour was actually only 2 minutes long, and then as soon as it was up, they all had to go back to their desk and then keep learning. But I found that it just really uplifted everybody, myself included, and it really was a brain break, essentially. But as the year wore on, I didn't need to do happy hour anymore. It was almost like they were naturally became more playful and they didn't need that structure. And it was just really fun. So I enjoyed that. So that's my share. I don't know if anyone else has something that they would like to share as an example.
I'll go next. So back to my granddaughter. She's a great example. When she, like I said, she's 12 now, but when she was younger, and even up until last school year, she could get in a mood. And when she was very young, my daughter would make her get up, put some, like a children's song on that was really uplifting, and make her do the silly shakes. And my daughter would get up and do them with her. And they would both end up cracking up, totally changed the mood, probably for my daughter as well, because you know how when you have a child that's not cooperating, you can get a little frustrated. And then again, when I'm teaching her, I had a huge shift in myself over the summer where I realized that I was being a little bit too, I don't want to say militaristic, but sit up. You do better when you sit up. And I felt, guy, I sound like some of my old grumpy teachers when I was, back in the covered wagon days when I went to school. And, but for me, laughter, especially if you look at the world today, there is so much, if you listen to especially mainstream media, there's so much negative stuff going on in the world, so they say. We don't really know. And to be able to laugh, even maybe laugh at some of the stuff that's going on, as long as nobody's getting harmed, is the most uplifting, frequency raising thing that I myself can personally do. And so in school now, I always incorporate laughter. We read together. We're reading the what's his name? Rick Riordan. I can't think of the name of the series right now. Anyway, it's great fun, and we have great fun, and we'll laugh, and so it's just so important to be able to maintain that, for it raises your spirit, it raises your frequency. So I'll leave it at that
For
one.
sure. Yeah.
Gentlemen. Yep.
I agree with Bo with that. When you're laughing, you remember things so much easier too, as I say. And laughter's from your heart. As you say, the belly laugh, Teresa, and people know that. I'm sure your students feel that, and that connection happens. So it brings you down to a more personable level and more trusting. And I really think that makes it, the frequency brings it all together, and everyone's on the same level then. And if you can get your students there, they're laughing along with you while there. Couldn't ask for a better environment than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I wish I could add on to this little discussion, but I can't really think. I was listening to everybody's explanation or story, and I nothing really came to mind. So I'm sorry, Teresa. I can't really answer that question much on. I know I answered something our last show about wanting to perhaps say butcher people's names, but that might not have been very appropriate. So I can't
Well,
really think of
it
anything right
depends
now
on the
that.
class. Some classes would
Yeah,
absolutely
exactly.
love it. So,
Yes.
totally get it, Kevin. But what you're expressing now is the state of the world. How often is laughter even is it even valued in an education setting? This is the whole point. I mean, sometimes, if you're doing poetry, do you have to all do serious poetry all of the time? Do we always have to have something that causes angst? If you're doing a novel study, does it have to be something that is really dark? Because a lot of the novels that are being studied in schools right now are really dark. There's a lot of trauma in them. Where is the light, airy, fairy, Enid Blyton type books with your fairies and your this and your that and the feel good? It just seems to be it's disappeared. And laughter, in the workplace, you just have to look out the window and watch nature. You can watch the two birds having an argument in the tree and or a squirrel or a something. There's always something around us that can make us smile and laugh and giggle if we are observant and we take the time to get out of our head and drop into that heart space. And I feel that that's the most powerful reason why laughter is powerful, because when you're stuck in your headspace and you're overthinking, that's where your anxiety or your depression or you're just not present. You're thinking in the future, or you're thinking in the past. You're not here now in that heart space, connecting with other people or connecting with nature or connecting with yourself for that matter. So, there are
You're
lots of
so
little
right.
things that you can do. Something that just popped into my heart just then was a couple of years ago, I had a class who loved to dance. They just really loved movement. And I did have a lot of ADHD kids, and I don't like that label, but they just could not sit still. So we designed a desk dance. So their bottom had to stay on the chair, but they were allowed to use their feet. They were kicking, and they had all these different hand movements, and they designed the dance themselves. And it was like synchronized dancing. And I put the music on because they go, "Can we do the desk dance?" Well, not until we get to this in the lesson. So they would work, 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 and then they'd want to do the desk dance. And the desk dance would just be put the song on and they would all dance, but they would laugh and they would play and it would really lift the whole energy of the room. And when they left, because that was a high school, and the next class came in, they could feel that energy was still in the room. When you go into a classroom where, someone's just been yelling, or that actually doesn't happen anywhere near around where I am. But, I've been in schools before when you're teaching in a classroom and the teacher next door yells and yells and yells and yells, the energy permeates that room. It's almost like it just soaks into everything because everything is conscious. So, I just feel like it's just such a powerful tool that we can use, in every day. And so, when you're having a bad day or you're having a difficult situation or there's trauma, laughter can certainly help. I keep thinking of Robin Williams and the movie that he made when he was the doctor. Oh, I cannot remember what the name of that movie was. Patch
The one
Adams?
where he had the red
Yeah,
patch.
Patch Adams.
Yeah,
Patch
Patch
Adams, right.
Adams. Movies like that. Do they make movies like that anymore? No, they're all dark and depressing. There's all death and kill and violence
Oh,
and gore and too much sex, particularly for children. Not for adults, but for children. Like, it's just crazy. All
And
right.
then the
So,
video games, yeah.
oh, yeah,
Yeah.
don't get me
I'm sorry.
started on
Yep.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, too.
Once again, in the mind space.
It's almost like you have to seek that higher vibration and you have to seek out how to, especially because I think a lot of people have forgotten how to laugh. And so maybe Johnny and Kevin could start a school of laughter and teach people how to laugh again.
Oh, well, funny you say that because I actually found that there are schools of laughter. Where was it?
Oh, who
But we know we've got
knew?
medical clowns in hospitals. I did find a story about a physics teacher. You know how you say slipping on bananas? So slipping on bananas. That story actually came from, there was a high school physics teacher who was really struggling to keep his students awake with lessons on gravity. He was trying to teach gravity. So one day he walked into class and slipped dramatically on a banana peel and then shouted, "That's Newton's law in the school." And then the kids all roared with laughter. And then years later, it's still remembered amongst the children when they talk about physics. Everyone's talking about the slipping on the banana. So the whole banana peel. But there is Kenyan laughter schools. They're like yoga laughter classrooms. And it's in Kenya, and I know they have them in India as well. And the teachers integrate laughter yoga. Now, I've done this, it was probably 20 years ago, back in the day when I was just so young and enthusiastic. And where we would do laughter yoga and you would do facial yoga, and the facial expressions were just hilarious. And you would start with a belly laugh. And it did start as forced laugh until it turned into natural laughter, but it was just beautiful. And basically, in these schools, the children spend 5 minutes doing playful, contagious laughter exercises. The result, it says, increased focus, improved social bonds, and better test performance. I mean, who cares about tests, right? That's not why we're there. Teachers report fewer conflicts, more joyful atmosphere for learning. Which basically means that just laughter should be a daily practice. And we're out of practice. This is the thing.
Exactly.
We're so out of practice. So it's like it's the victim mindset. Oh, well, you didn't make me laugh, or you need to set up the conditions. If the conditions aren't light, then create the conditions yourself. Like step up and take the lead. You don't have to be the teacher. The children could do it at the same time. Like anybody can step up and take control and bring that joy and laughter into their lives. Bo?
I had a friend staying with me a couple of years ago, and she was going through kind of a dark night of the soul kind of a time, and she was in her bedroom, and I was out in the living room on the sofa, and I admit I was scrolling, but I found things even in the news rather ridiculous, and I was just laughing for I don't know, a good period of time, and she finally came out of the her room, and she said, "It's really good to know that people can still laugh." And this is kind of an oxymoron, but I found that a little bit sad. It's like things have turned around for her, so that's excellent. But just that statement, it's anyway, laughter school. Yeah, let's do it.
And you know how you said scrolling? I interviewed Carolyn Cowan, amazing woman, on the power of shame and how you can, or not power of shame, how to
Yes,
release
that was
shame
a
from your
great
body.
show.
And she said something that just made me laugh out loud. And that was children are licking their phone with their fingers, like lick, lick, lick. So while they're scrolling, they've got their finger and it's like they're licking their phone using their finger. And
They're
I just,
literally
that,
doing it with their tongues.
I
No,
know, I
I've
saw
seen
that the other day. People are now, they don't even have to touch their phone. They can use their tongue and then the page will change and it will scroll up on their phones. And I'm like, what is going on? This is insane. But just that description, and I actually used that description. I was like, thank you, Carolyn. I'm gonna take that. And I used it with some high school girls the other day and said, oh, you're licking your phone with your finger. And they're like, eh. And then they all burst out laughing. Because when they got it, and it was just like, it does feel like they're licking an ice cream, only going down, not going up. So yeah, funny. Anyway, I just had to share that because sometimes a play on words is really quite clever too.
That almost sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit. You know, like something they would do on Saturday night.
It's crazy. Kevin, I know you're chomping at the bit. What have you got?
It brought to mind something that I just wanted to mention, that laughter actually is kind of attractive. You
Yeah.
kind of gravitate to people who are laughing because, in a way, they appear to be more attractive to you. You know, it's actually laughter is a mating ritual, in a
Wow.
way. Yeah, it is because.
Geez, Kevin, we should have a harem.
Oh,
Oh,
I
jeez. One for Johnny.
But let me illustrate my point here, because if you ask a woman, what was it about him that was attractive to you? And more than likely, they're going to say, "Well, he made me laugh.
Oh,
He made me
yeah.
laugh." You know, because that's one of the top characteristics that a woman would like to see in a man, is the fact that he can make her laugh. And
I
so
concur. I
you concur.
concur.
So it is a kind of a very important characteristic in the mating ritual. And so I just wanted to bring that to the attention, that laughter is attractive to people. And
Yeah.
you want to be around them. It's enjoyable to be around them. And if they make you laugh, then you want to be with that person. And so it's good potential mating fodder, if you will.
And while we
So to be
don't want
clear, it's
mating
to
going
be
on in
funny,
schools,
not look funny.
but we do want, but children who say, I've got no friends, and often when you watch them, they're moping around. They don't look like they would be fun to be around. So
Right.
it's almost
That's
like
true.
it almost sort of repels them energetically, which is interesting. So we've got time for one more round of questions, guys. And this, I've only got one question, but I feel like this is really important. So for people who are listening to this, what is your advice, or what's a small practice or something that you bring into your daily life to invite more laughter? I mean, I brought you guys on the show because you laugh all the time and you make me laugh all the time. So, you know, what's your secret? What's your secret sauce here, people? Can we share? Bo?
I just don't take myself so seriously. I'm not married to my identification, and I just don't take myself seriously.
Yeah.
It's really not all that bad. I mean, you can look at it like we're living in a simulation, and we aren't our bodies. You know, we're our spirit, and it's really not all that bad, guys.
Yeah, nothing's ever as bad as it seems. What do you think, Johnny? What do you do for your daily dose?
I do the same as well. I try to make light of every situation that I can. Is laugh as often as I can, and I think Kevin mentioned in our last show that he enjoys being a part of helping people to laugh and be happy, and so I like doing that. It's a really good feeling when someone else is happy with something you've done. Now, in some places, not always easy and not always accepted either. Like some places I've worked in the past, you know, they've actually ridiculed me for too much, you know, funny stuff or doing, you know, these. Too sterile, I guess, their environment. I worked at one place for a short period of time. I was hired to do some supervisory work just for a few months. And there were mostly folks my age there, but there were two young guys. And I used to walk around, tell the odd joke, and then I'd sing little songs because they'd be busy doing their thing. And I would just sing funny little songs, you know. And then it came time for me to go, and they had a little dinner for me and stuff, you know, at lunchtime. And okay, John, we're gonna miss you. And this one young guy, he's been about 22. He grabbed me by the arm on the way out. He says, "I'm gonna miss your songs." He says,
Oh.
and everyone started laughing because they knew exactly what he was talking about.
That's
But
gorgeous. What about you, Kevin? What
well,
do?
you
You're always
know.
laughing.
I am always laughing because I want to keep the darkness out, darkness away, be gone. You're not around my energy cycle. So every day I'm laughing. I'm always trying to laugh, and my wife and I, we get along great because we're always laughing and we're having a great relationship. I have a little on Telegram. Of course, I have a little chat room there called High Frequency Friends, and I always upload videos that will keep your energy high, will make you feel good. And I
Will
have them
do.
there every day. So every day that you log on to it hopefully will energize you, make you feel good so that you'll have some happiness for throughout the day. And I like and enjoy making other people happy and feel good. I live to wake up every morning to put those videos on that Telegram channel and to make people laugh and to keep my frequency high. Because in when I keep my frequency high, then the people I love and the people who are around me will also feel good. And I always think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
Right on, Kevin. You
love
do a great
it.
job with that.
Yes,
Thanks.
I agree. And I feel like for me, I'm not laughing enough. Like I'm reflecting, going, okay, I used to, I've gotten out of practice. It's I'm in my head too much and I need to get back into my heart space. So this is a really good wake-up call for me. But the time that I'm laughing the most is really when I'm sitting outside. I spend a lot of outside time with filling up the bird bath because we have lots of birds here, so many birds here. But just watching their little personalities and just sitting back and watching nature. Not that I think nature's hilarious, but it is. There's just so much there. Playfulness amongst the animals. The animals don't care. They don't have to go grocery shopping. They don't have to pay bills. They have not a care in the world. And I just love watching and observing the fact that they're out there and they're living, learning, and they don't need anyone to tell them what to do. So it's just gorgeous, just totally gorgeous. And it reminds me of Charlie Chaplin, who had that famous quote, "A day without laughter is a day wasted." And then you think about it, Kevin, you said laughter keeps the darkness away. Well, what about laughter a day keeps the darkness away instead of the apple a day, keeps the doctor away? It's the same sort of concept, I feel.
That's right.
Laughter should
Very
not
good. Same
be an
thing.
extra. It should be, well, we know it's memory glue. We know it's a stress reliever. We know it's a bridge between people and relationships. And we know that it sparks creativity. So why the hell are we not laughing anymore? Like, there's just so tick, tick, tick. There's all these benefits. So just feels like we really need to step up and get back into it. But anyway, so we have come to the end of our show. However, I would really like for people who are listening, for you to be able to connect with these three beautiful creator beings. So, Bo, would you like to share details of how people can access your fantastic show, Down and Dirty?
Sure. We are on bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time. And don't ask me to translate for your time zone. That's on you. Vicky and I, like Teresa has said, we've done a lot on gardening and herbs and plant medicine and things like that. Our show on Saturday, we're going live and we will be taking phone calls. We're changing it up just a little because here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're putting our gardens to bed. And so we're going to do a show on cultivating your inner garden. And we're going to pr probably throughout the winter do a little bit, change it up a little bit. And yeah, so we would love you to join us. And you can always go to our bbsradio.com/downanddirty. We have recipes there. We have all of our old show archives and articles that we've written. We would love to see you. Thanks,
Oh,
Teresa.
beautiful. Thanks, Bo. And I know your show is fantastic. There's just so much information there. And I know you're talking about the Northern Hemisphere because it's just starting to get hot, 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 baby,
Yes,
down here in Australia. But
exactly.
everything's still relevant. I just love it. All right. So, boys.
So that
Oh, yeah, Bo.
now that you said that, if you go back to our first show, which was in April, where that was the time that you guys are coming into now. So
Yeah.
everybody south of the equator, if you want to listen to our gardening tips and so on and so on, go back into our archives and start at the beginning.
Yeah, they're really
Thanks.
helpful. Really helpful. All right, a Q-Men perspective. Fantastic show. Lots of giggles and laughs, boys. When is it? Where is it? Give us the
Well,
deets.
thank yeah,
Take it away,
thanks,
Kev.
Teresa. Yeah. So, A Cumin Perspective is our podcast, Johnny and our podcast on bbsradio.com. We are on every other Saturday, and our next show is October 18th, and we are on the air at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the United States. And again, I'm not sure to convert that to Australian time. It might be in the middle of the night. So at least our shows are recorded. So anytime you guys wake up, you could log on to BBS Radio and search A Cuban Perspective, and we will be right there talking about anything and everything. We mainly explore divine masculine and feminine energy topics, and also New Earth insights. But we will talk about anything and everything, and we always have like open lines so people can call in, and be on our program and talk to us. It's an hour-long program, and we'd love to have you. Currently, we're talking about some articles that are on another website, and so but. And I'd love for you guys to join us and talk to us anytime. So anyway, that's all I can say. Teresa,
No, that sounds
thank you.
good. And BBS broadcasts to 48 different countries, so there's going to be time
Oh
zones
yeah.
all over the place. I mean, it just goes worldwide. It's such an amazing, Don and Doug did such a great job with the team. It's an amazing radio station. Johnny, did you want to say a final thing before I wrap it up, put a big bow on it
I just
today?
want to give a cheers to all of your listeners. I hope they laugh every day until their face is sore.
There you go.
Oh, absolutely love that. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express. Go out and live learning. Let's take it out with a bit of a chuckle and a laugh, guys. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.
Ha ha ha.